The Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. On Cold 92.5.
Great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Heyo, everybody. What is happening? Luke Bradnam with you and a special guest co-host this afternoon. She'll be back with us again tomorrow as well. Ellen Briggs.
Oh, you nailed it that time.
Did I get it? I'm saying a name incorrectly. I'm learning. I do it all the time, actually. Like, Ellen. Is that? That's right. Ellen.
Ellen.
Ellen. It sounds like I'm Scottish all of a sudden to me.
Sounds like you've got an accent.
Anyway, you're from Mullumbimby, and it's been good hanging out with you today.
Had fun.
You enjoy it?
Yeah, I am enjoying it.
It's your first ever radio show.
Yeah. Well, I did do International Women's Day with Bridge earlier this year, so I did the morning show with her. But this is my first one as a co-host.
How cool!
Yeah, it's very cool. Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you what,
I like it.
I remember my first radio show. I was up in Darwin, and I actually how's this one? So I go to Darwin and get my first radio show. And I take over from Kyle Sanderlands.
Oh, wow.
And I sucked. I sucked so badly.
What are you saying, Luke?
Are you trying
to tell me something?
I'm saying how much I admire you.
Oh,
because,
nice.
Honestly, my first radio show, I got a tape of it. And I wish I kept it now in hindsight.
Yeah.
But I threw the tape out of embarrassment. I actually threw it down a drainpipe in Darwin, in the main street of Darwin.
It's very environmentally friendly.
I didn't care. I was just like, I don't ever want anyone to ever hear this ever again.
I have that, my first stand-up set.
Was it bad?
Well, because when I did stand-up, I did two times on stage and then I got through to the Raw Grand Final.
Did you really?
Yeah, down in Melbourne. And so I was performing for the third time on stage in front of 2,000 people.
Wow.
And when I see that footage, you know when you want to turn yourself inside out? Like, I just go, oh, that is so bad.
Do you think it genuinely was bad, or you're just being a really bad, harsh critic of yourself?
The jokes were really good.
Right.
The jokes that I had written were really good, but the way I delivered it was really fake and really over the top. And I was doing this big, like, in between all my words for some reason, like I was a really bad asthmatic or something.
Right.
I needed a puffer.
Well, you weren't scuba diving at the time?
No.
No, okay, just checking. Just sounded like you were. No. I know what you mean. Because it takes a while to get your craft, but you've hit the ground running this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I don't think I've made too many mistakes.
Oh, mate, Brixie reckons you have, but
he's nodding his head. Yeah, you have.
Nah, you've been rock
but
and roll.
But you've covered up for me.
It's been good. Been good having you. And I'll tell you what, if you hang around for the catch up today, you're going to hear how Ellen's long distance relationship works. Her husband works for Valentino Rossi, which is pretty cool.
He's very fancy.
I had a bit of an incident with my brother-in-law, Robbo, and I end up talking to one of Australia's angriest people. I'll tell you that story.
Is he actually angry?
Oh, yeah, he's angry.
Yeah,
man.
Right. Okay.
Very angry man. Alan had a run-in with a superstar at her local shopping centre. We do Dumb Question Tuesday for you. Some Irish joker got up to all sorts of shenanigans at his funeral, and we take your stories on funny things that have happened at a funeral. Roxy Jasenko had some bird crap on her front doorstep. All that and a whole heap more on the catch-up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I was just talking to Alan, I was talking to you off air, and you do the whole long distance deal with your husband, right?
I do. I got a fancy husband.
What do you mean? What
is? Well, he's not fancy. His job is fancy.
Yeah, what does he do again?
He's a mechanic for Valentino Rossi, the motorbike rider.
How do you become a mechanic for Valentino Rossi? If you don't know, Valentino Rossi in the world of motorcycles is as big of a legend as
he's God.
Yeah, he is. He's your Roger Federer.
Yeah, he is.
He's what Roger Federer is to tennis, Valentino Rossi is to superbikes.
Yes.
And your husband's the mechanic for him.
Yeah.
Really?
He's one of them. There's also another mechanic that lives on the Gold Coast that is one of his mechanics, Brent Stevens.
But he's like Italian, so how does he end up with two Gold Coasters as his mechanic?
Well, because he took Mick Doohan's team after Mick Doohan retired.
And really?
Alex was with Mick Doohan, so that's how he ended up with him.
Wow. And so your husband just goes around the world with Valentino Rossi to all the different Grand Prix.
Yeah. I think there's 17 Grand Prix all around the world.
So when do you, like, I know he's in Japan at the moment, right?
Yep.
So when do you guys see each other? Like, how does that work?
Rarely. Right. He just pops home every now and then.
Does he?
So we have to have a lot of rules. because I sometimes do treat him like a visitor in his own house.
Well, he kind of is.
He kind of is, and he knows that, you know, and he gets some of the rules wrong.
Well,
like
give me
the
example.
Other day, he put mismatching towels in the bathroom.
Divorce him.
It was like an animal. Seriously, like I was animal. Living with an animal.
Sort of animal put the mismatching towels in. You might get away with that with Rossi, mate, but you're in Mullumbimby now.
Yeah, that's right. Valentina doesn't care about his towels.
So do you feel like, because when he comes back, you've probably got your own regime for when he's not in town, and then all of a sudden he comes back and the dynamic would change.
Yeah. Yeah, look, we've been together for 25 years.
Right.
And he's been doing that job the whole time. So I've never known any different. So we have got it kind of sorted. Clearly it's working. My biggest fear is when he finishes.
Then you've got to live together.
We've got to live together full time.
Does that seriously worry you?
Yeah, and we do talk about it.
Really?
We do talk about how he's going to have to play a lot of golf.
Do you reckon that for you guys, a long-distance relationship is actually a good thing?
I think it is a good thing. And you know why I do think it is a good thing? 25 years ago, we were writing letters to each other.
Yeah, right.
So we actually have all these beautiful letters from when we were first together.
Right.
You know, kids aren't going to have that now, are they? They just send pics of their body parts to each other, yeah. Don't they?
You're not going to flick back through 1,000 text messages.
No.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah. And so we've got that. We also probably talk more about the important stuff than if he was home every night.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's limited. We're on the phone and we have to kind of talk about the important stuff. And sometimes it's hard. You know, I've just had lots of things happen in my life and, you know,
but
he wasn't around.
Yeah,
but
that's what I was going to ask. Like the bad side being that you do live a lonely life for a large portion of the year while he's away, right?
Yeah. But I don't ever really feel lonely, Luke, because I know that he's still there and we have a really good relationship and I do like being on my own.
Well, I wonder if anyone's making it work. Like, I did it for like 3 years. Before I was married, my girlfriend and I, we did a long distance for 3 years. So I got my first radio show in Darwin.
Yep.
And we'd see each other every 8 weeks, basically.
So she just went, I'm not going to Darwin.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
on
your own, buddy.
And she missed out, mate. That is a cool place.
It is a cool city, yeah.
It's a cool place. But yeah, we did the long distance, but it was hard. It was really hard.
Yeah.
I wonder if you've got a story, if you're doing the long distance deal and you're making it work or you couldn't make it work. Christine's called through from Ashmore. You do the long distance deal, do you, Christine?
We've just finished a 2.5 year stint, basically, for the first time in 16 years.
Who was away, Christine?
My husband was away. He was up in Townsville and I was on the Gold Coast, and it just happened that he got asked to go up there at the same time as I was starting my business. So, yeah, we had to basically, he went up there and set up with our five-year-old who was starting school, and I did I'm just about to unpack my suitcase.
Really?
Wow. So he took the kid and you
yeah,
stayed back.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I probably spent maybe 50% of the time, if not less, while I was building the business and just fly in, fly out. And yeah, she started school up there and we've just basically finished up the stint. So it was a really good experience.
Christine
actually
had that tough decision that we all face in our lives, Alan, of, geez, do I leave Burley and head to Townsville or do I just stay here? Hey, Tracy's called through. Tracy, what's your go?
My husband worked away for many years, probably about 10 or 15 years, and when he came home, it was very hard.
Oh, it was hard when he came. It wasn't hard when he was away. It was hard when he came back.
No, it was great.
I'm hearing you, Tracy.
Hey, thanks, Trace. Hey, Ellen, do you reckon your husband finds it difficult coming back and like being treated like a guest in his own house?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I don't reckon. He tells me.
Oh, does he? Yeah, right. Hey, one more. Sue out of Pack Pines. What's your go, Sue?
I've been with my husband 40 years, and for the last 28 years, he's been travelling all around Australia. Sometimes he goes overseas, and we seem to make it work too.
Good on you, Sue.
What's he doing travelling around Australia? Is he working or is he just going
up? He's a construction manager.
Oh, okay. Hey, you girls, Sue, you and Alan have worked out the secret to a successful marriage. Mm. I mean, we're only 20 minutes into our relationship here.
And we've solved it.
We've solved it. Just don't live together.
Yeah. Distance. Yeah. That's the secret. Distance.
One person in Japan, like your husband Alex is, and one person here on the Goldie, and you'll have a successful relationship. Well done.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I was out driving around this morning, Alan, and I'm making phone calls now because I got this new. Well, it's not new. I've had it with the car for 2 years, but I've worked out in the last week how to use it.
You've just worked it out.
I've worked out that I've got voice control for my phone.
Did you work that out by yourself?
No. In all honesty, I was driving the car, and then I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden up on my screen it says, it just comes up, it says, ask Siri who you want to call. And I went, I didn't even know I had Siri in this car.
Were you singing or talking or something?
I don't know. But now, now if I say, call Ashley Bradnam, it just rings my brother. And it came up today and I went, oh, well, I'm going to make some phone calls because it's easy.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, he's one of my best mates. His name's, we call him Hustler. That's his nickname.
You're going to tell us why?
Boring story. He came up with the nickname years ago.
He gave himself the nickname
Hustler, right?
Right.
Anyway, we all call him Hustler, and I go, call Hustler, right? And the phone starts ringing, and next thing, the phone gets answered, and I can tell straight away it's not Robbo. It's not Hustler.
It's not Hustler.
Just because of the angry tone of the person that answered. The person goes, hello? And I go, hello? And he goes, yeah. This person goes, yeah. And then I look at my screen in my car and I didn't even know I had this person's phone number in my phone. I've asked to ring Hustler and it's rung Des Hasler, the Manly Warringah coach. And now I'm on the phone to Des Hasler, the angriest coach in rugby league from the Manly Sea Eagles. God knows how I got his phone number. I must have rung him 100 years ago while I was doing a radio show somewhere. And now I'm on the phone to Des Hasler cruising down Bundle Road.
Please tell me you said to him, Des, have you got this thing in your car that you can ring people?
You know what
I'm
I
going
did?
Through my phone book.
Well, we're only new working together, Alan, and you don't know this about me, but what you do need to know, and you'll work it out pretty quick, I am a giant pussy. So what I did, mate, I bailed on that situation so quick, I had a flame coming out my backside. I hung up on him. I just hung up. So my total exchange with Des Hasler, the Manly Rugby League coach, was, hello? And I, hello? Yeah? Hang up.
Beep, yeah. Beep, beep.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I guess every day is Bogan Central Day down at Mullumbimby for you.
We've
though,
got
Alan,
our own
right?
track.
Yeah, you
Mullumbimby Central.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, is it true, like down that neck of the woods, like you're not that far out of Byron
no,
Bay?
That's right. They're our neighbours.
And so someone was telling me that you had an encounter with Byron Bay's most famous at the shopping centre.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
yeah,
go
yeah.
on. Tell
yeah, us. With Chris Hemsworth.
What happened?
Do you know how many people ask me about Chris? Did you see Chris Hemsworth? Yeah, I do. I was in doing my shopping in the grocery store and he was leaning up very casually, you know, looking like Chris Hemsworth in front of the tomatoes on his phone.
Right. So he's
and he has a cap on. I don't think he really wants to be noticed.
But you noticed straight away that it's Chris Hemsworth.
Not straight away, but I just went, oh, is this dude in front of the tomatoes? And as I got closer, I realised it was him and I said, excuse me. And he kind of did that, you know, a slight roll of the eyes where he's gone, oh, another middle-aged woman. She's going to...
Get a photo.
Yeah, she's going to get a photo. And I said, can you just move, mate? I need to get some crushed tomatoes.
He was probably relieved.
Yeah, he kind of gave me a bit of a smile. And I've been in before because my kids work in the local supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been in before.
At Mullumbimby?
Yeah,
right.
At Mullumbimby.
So he does his shopping at Mullumbimby.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, which I guess because... Maybe he doesn't get recognised there as much. And also, we kind of don't care
right.
in Mullumbimby.
You're so laid back, man.
People just get around. The only person I've ever cared about was Tim Friedman from the Whitlams.
Right.
Because I really loved him. And he was in front of me in a cafe one time. And I'm a bit ashamed to say it, but I had a sniff of him.
Did you really?
Yeah, I just wanted to see if he smelt nice.
Did he?
Yeah. He did. He had really nice aftershave. Very spicy.
That wasn't aftershave, by the way.
That's just his smell.
That was cigarette ash. I don't want to bust your story there, but that's what it was.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
It's a Tuesday afternoon, Alan. Every Tuesday on the show, we do a little thing called Dumb Question Tuesday. Now, this is where if you've been asked a dumb question, or if you've asked someone a dumb question, you give us a call on 13 27 10. And whoever you deem to ask the dumbest question or have the dumbest one for us, Alan, we're going to fling a good prize to, okay?
Oh, I get to judge.
You're a
judge.
I
love being judgy.
Have you got anything? Have you got an example at all?
Oh, yeah. I've got kids, of course. Yeah. I remember one time my kids, they were probably about, I don't know, 8 years old, and I have identical twin boys. I remember when Turkish bread was in vogue? Everyone was eating Turkish bread.
It's all smashed avocado now.
Yeah, that's right. So they're eating the Turkish bread, and I'd said that it was Turkish bread, and one of them goes, wow, this is amazing. I didn't even know that you get bread from turkeys. And the other one says, oh, you're so dumb. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. And he goes, turkeys don't even make milk. What?
You gave birth to morons.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's a good example. If you've got one for us, hit the phones. Ellen, oh, you're just talking to me off air. I'm not saying your name right. Right?
No, you've been calling me Alan.
Alan.
Which was my dad's name. What kind of family does that?
So you're old.
Have an Alan and an Ellen.
Your old man is Alan.
Yeah.
And then they call you Alan.
Yeah, Ellen.
In my head I'm saying Alan.
So you're mixing us up, which is what my mum did. She would call out, Alan, and we'd both go, yep.
In my head, give me how I pronounce your name.
Alan.
Alan. That's what I'm saying, right?
No, you're saying Alan.
Am I? Oh,
yeah.
Far out. I can't get it. I can't get it. I'm just going to call you Briggsy. Her last name's Briggs.
Brixy and Briggsy.
Yeah. Oh.
That's going to get confusing.
Anyway, every Tuesday we do Dumb Question Tuesday and a cool prize up for grabs. Let's get into it, Briggsy.
There's no such thing as a dumb question. I've done all the dumb things. Just dumb people.
Ha, 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 ha. 13, 27, 10, if you want to be a part of the show. Who's called through there?
Kelly from Tweed Heads. You've got something about scanned documents, Kelly. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, what's
can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
What's your question? Yep. What happened with you?
Okay, so what it was I had a co-worker. We get scanned documents that come through at our work. And I had a co-worker say to me, because a fingerprint was actually put on one of the documents, so someone had put their fingerprint on it, and because it was scanned through to us, she could not work out. She said, how did the fingerprint get on there? Did they draw it?
Oh, wow.
Right. See, some people are just dopey. Let's go to Marianne from Ormo. Marianne, what's your story?
I had to ring up a government department to tell them of a change of address, and they said that they couldn't accept the change of address over the phone, but then said, well, what's your address so I can send you the form to fill
in. There's the government for you. There's the government for you.
Keeping them in jobs. She's just got to keep her job, Marianne. What about you, Stuart, from Pack Pines?
Yes, well, my daughter just got her licence and we're driving from the Gold Coast up to Ipswich. Anyway, we're driving through when the toll booths were there. So I've gone through the manual one because I had a note to give to get changed back, so I went through. Daughter was following in another car, and she went through the automatic booth and put all the change in there and didn't have much she had anyway, threw it all in and went through. Anyway, she was with her sister in the car, and she turned to my sister and said, how come Dad went through the manual booth when he's got an automatic car?
Oh, I love that.
Idiot.
And all I can think of then was like year 12, private school.
Okay.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
You've been spotting stuff out on the roads, Ellen.
Oh, well, on the way here, I saw just opposite the Darling over here. Is that a hotel?
Yeah, it's a new hotel. Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
But on the road, in the intersection, was a pair of undies.
Yeah. Whose? Whose were they?
And that's what I always think. I look at those undies and think, what a night you've had. To end up on the road, outside the Darling, there's been some serious stuff going down
with those
undies. There's a story with every pair of undies you see on the road.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah, and you'd like to know it. Wouldn't you love to be able to track that down?
Yeah.
Look, how does anyone lose their undies out the front of the Darling?
Yeah. I'd love that person to call in.
I'll tell you. I've left my dignity over there a couple of times.
Oh, yeah?
But never
your undies.
Never my underpants.
Well, funnily enough, the other night I was doing a gig up at Narang and an old man thought it would be hilarious to pull a pair of crutchless undies out of his jacket.
Really?
And give them to me while I was on stage. Yeah, like he's a local old dude that everyone, you know, you get to an age where you can do stuff without someone punching you in the head.
No, you know what it is? You get to an age whereby, it's considered cute, not creepy.
Oh, yeah. No, it was creepy. It was really creepy. And I sort of went, wow, that's never happened to me before. I've never had undies pulled out at me and, you know, at work. And there was this young kid there who we had already established he works at McDonald's.
Right.
And just out of that conversation, like I said, wow, that's never happened to me. I don't normally have undies, you know, thrown at me at work. And he went, people poo their pants all the time in McDonald's.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, like, you know, he was really kind of sad about it. Like, he has to deal with that all the time. So when I saw those undies, I went, I wonder if earlier they'd been at McDonald's.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
You might see this on the news tonight. Some dude in Ireland passed away and then he played a prank on all of the people that came to his funeral. So the coffin is in the ground and they're about to start chucking the dirt on it, which I always find really creepy for some reason. I don't like that part of the
funeral. Don't you? I love it. That's my favourite part.
Is it?
Yeah.
I could always go without
ashes
that.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Yeah, I don't mind the actual ceremony in the church or wherever,
yep,
but that's a bit too real for me. It's really emotional for me when I see that.
Oh, that's really nice of you.
Yeah, I saw it at my granny's. I was okay. I did the eulogy at the funeral, but then at that part when they're just covering her up like a dog bone or something, it really hits me hard.
Yeah.
And this would have absolutely freaked me out. This guy, he's obviously a character. He's got all of the mourners around the hole and they've just lowered the casket down, and then from beyond the grave, a tape starts playing from the coffin. Have a listen.
Hello? 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 Let me out! Where the f*** are we? Hello? Hello? Let me out! Some dogs in here. Who the f*** coming? I got that police dog in here. Let me out. Hello. Hello. I can hear you. Hello. Hello.
Oh. That'll do, Brixie. We get the idea.
That is really good.
Oh, far out. That is funny.
That is really funny.
You know, I've done the eulogy of way more funerals than where I've just been a guest.
Yeah.
And it's actually not a bad place to talk, because I think people actually want to have a laugh at a funeral.
They do.
Funnily enough,
they definitely do.
People want to have a laugh at a funeral.
Yeah.
And there's some funny things go on. Like, have you ever had a laugh at a funeral?
Oh, yeah. Really recently, about a month ago, one of our neighbours died.
Right.
And we went to her funeral, and she was a pretty kooky character. She was pretty gorgeous, and there were lots of colourful people there. And she was in one of those cardboard coffins, you know, that you can go and write your name on, and there were some paints there so kids could paint a picture on them.
They're really?
Full cardboard.
Is this like a biodegradable Mullumbimby hippie thing?
Well,
I don't
think it's only Mullumbimby, but maybe we invented it.
Right, okay. I've never seen the cardboard coffin.
Yeah, it just looks like a cardboard coffin.
Right, okay.
And we were, you know, it was graveside. And so a few people got up and they were telling funny stories. But then this one guy got up and he's like this old British guy, and he got up and, you know, said, "Oh, I loved you, darling. We had a great time. You got me my job with Bowie. Rock on, Bowie." And we're all like, wow, you worked with Bowie, right? And he says a few other things, tells us all how we're like sparklers. You know, like when a kid holds a sparkler, that's what you all look like to me. And now she's a sparkler and she's in there, and I'm going to have a drink to her. And he rips open a bottle of red wine,
right,
and has a swig and then pours it over the cardboard coffin. And I was holding my heart going, oh, it's going to get all wet at the bottom and she's going to slip through.
She probably could.
You know
off.
When a cardboard box gets wet?
Yes.
At the bottom, and I was like, get her in the ground. Get her in the ground.
Oh, fair dinkum.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Oh, you know what?
Fantastic.
We've got to get a reality TV show following you guys from Mullumbimby around. There's all sorts of shenanigans going on there.
It was fun.
If you've got a story of a good laugh at a funeral, we want to hear from you. Who's called through there, Alan?
Daniel from Mermaid Waters. What's your story?
G'day, guys. Went down to a funeral. A friend of mine passed pretty far before his time, unfortunately, in September last year. and he always said he wanted to have the Grim Reaper at his funeral.
Oh, joking. Joking. Yeah.
So, of course, I've had to fly all the way down to Victoria, and I've gotten just in the door as they're about to get things started, and I look to my right, and here's another one of our friends in the black robe with the white face paint, with tears streaming down his face and taking the pickup with him.
Fair dinkum. All right, let's go to Natalie from Narang. Natalie, what's your story?
Oh, yeah, hi. So we're at the funeral, and it was a lady from work. It was her funeral, and there's a group of us there. And as she's going off in the hearse, all their balloons are going up, and I've just turned to a group of people, and I've gone, oh, my God, that was a beautiful wedding.
Oh, beautiful wedding. Natalie.
That's like the other week here. Remember there was someone that was leaving. They'd been given the rissole. They'd been given the flick. And one of the dudes got the card, the big oversized card that was her going away card, and wrote, happy birthday.
Oh.
She just got the sack. Hey, Debbie from Upper Coomera. What's your go, Debbie?
We had to go to a funeral, and there was church service beforehand. And a friend of ours said, I don't think I should go. He was anti-church. He said, I don't think I should go in for the service. The church will probably fall down. We said, no, you'll be right. Come on. So, but the minute he walked in the church door, the big heavy cross on the wall fell down.
Did it really?
Really?
Your friend is the devil. Oh. Are you still friends?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
An amazing story that broke last night. I was just about to go to sleep last night, Alan, and being the rock and roller that I am, I was doing my nightly ritual of reading news.com.au on my iPad while I was in bed, right? And there was a story about
I'm picturing it.
Yeah, Roxy Jasenko. Do you know who she is?
Yeah, I do.
So there's a story about Roxy Jasenko, and it's an awful story. Like, honestly, I've got such a weak stomach, and I'm a bit of a pussy with things like this. But there's a girl who's been, the nicest way I can say it is some person's been doing a dump out the front of Roxy Jasenko's office for the last 3 weeks.
Every day?
Yeah, I think it was like a few times over the last few weeks.
Okay, so she's regular.
Yeah, she is. She's really regular.
She's having her Metamucil every morning.
So what Roxy did was she whacked up some cameras and she caught the girl. And their video was online last night of this girl. It's gone viral today. You'll see it on the news tonight. Of this jogger racing up, and she takes a dump out the front of Roxy's place. And it's a young girl, a young, attractive girl. She looks like she's about 25 years of age. Just ducks in between two cars, pulls her pants down, goes for it, and then races away from the place.
Does she wipe?
She did, actually.
Oh,
yeah. Good. Yeah,
she's pre-planned.
Yeah, she had some tissues. Yeah. She wipes. And I'm just like...
And leaves the tissues on the ground.
Yeah, she chucked the tissues away and races away. And then Roxy's, I guess, left to deal with the aftermath. And then I'm watching it and I say to my girlfriend, Lauren, I go, oh, my God, have a look at this.
Well, can I just say, we were left to deal with the aftermath of her TV show.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of the same.
And yeah, Brixie. They both left us with crap, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, I show my girlfriend and she says straight away, she goes, I bet you I know what's happened here. And I go, what? And she goes, I bet you this girl's in a new relationship and she doesn't feel comfortable going to the bathroom at home where her boyfriend's at home.
Yeah.
And so she goes out and does this. And I'm going, are you joking me?
I feel sorry for her now.
Are you joking? Yeah. Like, she's either that or she's just some filthy animal that goes out and does it on the street.
It's one or the other.
Do you reckon girls do that, where they go to that length to hide it from their boyfriends?
Yeah.
Really?
I've been with Alex for, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never farted in front of him.
Brixie. Stop playing.
You're loving that fart noise,
you're
aren't
so
you?
Immature. So immature.
Yeah, never.
I applaud that because I was married for...
And you know, it's hard work.
Yeah.
Holding it in.
Yeah. I never farted in front of my wife and I would never fart in front of my girlfriend.
Yeah, good on you.
I just think it's disgusting and disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I'd never want them to do it in front of me, you know? Like, I'd never want my...
Yeah.
So, like, Margot, who I used to work with, she'd just go to the bathroom with the door open and...
Oh no, I have to have a whole scene happening. Like, I put the radio on.
Do you?
You know, yeah, I light a candle. I tell everyone in the house, do not come down into the bedroom.
Do you say that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm having a little bit of private time and they all know.
You're
not going down there.
You're going to those length and some chicks just racing.
It's a ritual.
Some other chicks just racing up to the front door of Roxy Jasenko's.
Yeah. Her ritual is very different to mine.
Like, sometimes, though, you just have to go.
You do.
It's never happened to me. This hasn't happened to me, but my brother's got a killer story. This is down in Yamba. And he just had to go. He just had to go. He's walking back from fishing, ducked off into the bush, and as he pulls his pants down, he's going for it in the bush.
Yeah.
As he, no one's around, and then all of a sudden, with his pants around his ankles, while he's in the middle of doing his business, he hears these voices, and it's a family walking.
Oh.
And he's just sort of
so
half.
So he's going to look like a pervert in the bush.
He's half exposed.
Yeah.
And the kid, one of the kids who's about six, just gets direct eye contact with Ashley, whose eyes are just telling this kid to shut up and keep moving, right? And he thinks, and then he looks at the girl, the mother, and the mother is Hayley Lewis, the famous swimmer.
Really?
Yes. And Ashley knows her via his radio show.
Oh,
and so it's extra embarrassing because it's an Australian legend who is walking by, and Ashley goes, he's telling me the story and he goes, thank God I would have had the most embarrassing moment of my life, but she didn't see me. And because she could have, if she had looked to the right, she would have seen Ashley. Now, that story happened about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Last year, Hayley went back on Ashley's show, his radio show.
Yep.
And she says to the producer, I got a story about Ashley I want to tell.
Oh, I love her.
Gets on there and says, I saw Ashley taking a dump in Yamba once. She actually did see
That's
him.
That's so good.
She actually saw him and just kept it to herself. And she reckons all she said to her kids was, keep walking.
Don't
keep
look.
Walking.
How disgusting
is that?
But as a swimmer, because you know you swim, don't you?
Yeah.
As a swimmer, you know sometimes you've got to go. So it's probably happened to her.
In the pool.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Are you got a movie cinema down there in Mullumbimby? Or are they?
No.
Where have you got to go if you want to go to the movies?
We've got to go to Tweed Heads.
Oh, mate.
I know, it's a big day out.
Off to the big smoke.
Yeah.
And have you been? So yeah. You went and watched, what, The Joker?
We watched The Joker. Have you seen The Joker?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went the other night and my husband and I, we took our kids and a couple of their friends. And then I felt really guilty about it because it was a little bit distressing. And there was a point in the movie. So all the seats at Tweed Heads are those ones that lay back now. You know, got that. Yeah, it's fancy as. You wouldn't imagine it, but it's great.
You could almost move in.
Yeah, except that the rent is high. You know, like three things of popcorn and three ice creams were, I'm not kidding you, $56.
Aren't they ridiculous?
Yeah. Why don't they just make it cheaper? More people will go. But anyway,
yeah.
Halfway through, I got to a point where I couldn't handle any more of the movie. I was like, this is a bit too much for me.
Too graphic or?
What I thought was going to happen, I didn't want to see.
Right.
And I was freaking out. And I also felt really like a very bad mum because I was just going to leave the kids there and just go and wait for them in the foyer and have a glass of wine and let them deal with the awful thing that was going to happen. So I go to put the button down. And, you know, where my feet are goes down and my handbag was on that part. And, of course, the contents of my bag go everywhere and I'm down on the ground in the dark, you know, scrambling it all up going, oh, no, I just want to get out of here. And one of my kids is like, Mum, what are you doing? You just get up. You
so
know,
your
like,
whole handbag's tipped upside down.
Yeah, and he's given me a few little kicks, you know, because I've got really nice kids. And then the scene was over and what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. So I got back on the chair and kind of huddled into the fetal position.
Fair income.
But, yeah, it was pretty full on. And then a kid, I was right on the end, and a kid sort of came in halfway through and I did the big scream. Like, he really scared me. I thought, oh, this is it. We're gone. You know, I don't know what I thought he was going to do. He was just a kid who'd been to the toilet.
Really? It wasn't in the movie. He was in the cinema.
Yeah, no, he was in the cinema. So I'm a little bit of a – I like a feel-good movie, and The Joker is not a feel-good movie.
Well, if you're a psychopath, it is.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Hey, Alan, it's been a lot of fun having you around today, and we're going to enjoy having you here again tomorrow. You've got to head back down to Mullumbimby. What time is it down there? It's like it's half past
an
eight.
We're an hour behind.
Half past eight, 1978.
No, we're an hour ahead.
Yes, yeah, you're
Yeah, right. We're an hour ahead.
You you get electricity
down
there?
We're in the future.
You got electricity down there now?
Only solar.
Really?
It'll be dark when I get home.
We'll look forward to having you back tomorrow, and we'll be back on the wireless at 3 o'clock for your local drive home. We'll copy you then. Thanks for your company this Arvo.
See ya.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.